check your NOTAMs off the Florida coast. United and Continental are now under a single certificate. And here's help for Aero Commander owners with spar cracks. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 1st, 2011. The FAA has posted a flight advisory alerting pilots in much of the southeast U.S. that GPS interference testing starts today. The testing may result in unreliable or unavailable GPS signals. The tests will be centered off the coast of Jacksonville, Florida. Each event may last up to 45 minutes, followed by 15 minutes off. More than one event may occur during the published times. The testing is scheduled between now and December 12th between 2100 and 0245 Zulu, or 4 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time. A 300 nautical mile radius will be affected. You can find the map and more details in the text version of this story, dated November 30th, at aero-news.net. Pilots are strongly encouraged to report anomalies during testing to the appropriate center to help determine the extent of GPS degradation, and you should check NOTAMs frequently for possible changes. United Continental Holdings announced yesterday it has been granted FAA approval for a single operating certificate, another milestone in the integration of United and Continental Airlines. The two carriers went through a rigorous 18-month process of aligning operating policies and procedures to obtain the single certificate. United's pilots, represented by ALPA, fought the imposition of Continental's training and cockpit procedures on pilots who had been flying for United, but they lost that fight in U.S. District Court. So, Air Traffic Control Communications now refer to all United and Continental flights as United. The FAA has granted an STC to Harrison Aero for the Commander 112 and 114 elevator spar cracking issue that prompted an airworthiness directive. It allows the fleet of Commander owners the option of repairing rather than replacing their spars, and reinforces the spar near the hinge area to prevent future cracks. You can find details at harrisonaero.com. A link to info on the STC is right at the top of the homepage in bright red. Five sailors are now presumed lost following the capsizing of their sailboat in the Irish Sea. Two were rescued and the body of an eighth sailor has been recovered. Britain's Prince William was the co-pilot of the aircraft that effected the rescue of the two men from a life raft after their sailboat Swanland capsized in rough seas early Sunday morning local time. The crew sent out a mayday call about 2 a.m., saying strong winds had cracked the boat's hull and it was taking on water. CNN reports the two men who were rescued appear to be in reasonable condition after their time in the water. Still ahead, another veteran of the shuttle program is leaving NASA. More people than you might think make it onto planes with shampoo. And it's time to start writing the history of the year 2011. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 1st. I'm Paul Plagg. A Piper Navajo on a medical transportation flight went down Monday night in a Chicago suburb, resulting in three fatalities, and two other occupants were injured. The plane's owner, Transnorth Aviation Limited, says those on board included the pilot, a pilot trainee, a paramedic, the patient, and his wife. They had departed Jessup Wayne County Airport in Georgia for Chicago Executive Airport in Prospect Heights. The patient and his wife live in the Chicago area, according to FAA spokeswoman Elizabeth Isham Corey. The Chicago Sun-Times reports that the pilot informed Chicago Executive he was experiencing fuel problems before the plane went down. The accident caused a small fire that was quickly extinguished by emergency responders, who found two people dead in the wreckage. The third person died while being transported to an area hospital. There were no injuries on the ground. The man who was tapped by NASA to lead the shuttle program after the Columbia accident has announced he will be leaving the agency to accept a position with a major aerospace company. The move will allow Mike Leinbach to stay on the Florida Space Coast, where he and his wife have deep roots. After being named shuttle test director in 1991, Leinbach conducted the terminal countdown and launch of 17 shuttle missions and was responsible for all pre-launch planning activities involving the shuttle. With the shuttle program over, expect more announcements like this as program specialists head for the private sector. A recent survey by the Australian flight comparison site Skyscanner reveals that 28% of travelers have smuggled contraband liquids past airport security, either accidentally or in full knowledge that they're breaking the rules. Almost 1,000 people responded to the poll, which revealed that 42% believe current rules are too restrictive overall, with 18% complaining that different airports appear to have different rules. Only 2% believe the rules don't go far enough. However, despite rules perceived as overly restrictive, 4% of respondents admitted that they have purposely smuggled liquids through security and gotten away with it. And finally today, it's that time again. We're turning over to the last calendar page of the year today, and it's time to think about the best and worst in aviation for 2011. Maybe a few hints will get you started. Was there a standout among the outrageous things pandering politicians said about business jets? Was there someone in the industry whose behavior reflected badly on all of us? Is there a particular NIMBY battle that stands out? Or, on the positive side, what were the industry's accomplishments this year? Who went above and beyond the call to serve the public or customers? And what new products or trends give us hope for the years ahead? If you have any thoughts, we'd love to consider them in preparing our annual year-end best and worst lists. Send them to us by email at editor@aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.